Welcome to the Oh Woman podcast, where we discuss oh so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thank you for joining me today for episode 8 of the show. The topic that we're going to talk about today is health and your sexuality, an introduction. So I wanted to bring up a topic that people don't really think about hand in hand, especially the younger generations, probably 30 and below or 40 and below, don't really think about their health and how that is really very linked to sexuality and how sexual they feel and how they perform. But it really is, and it's something worth discussing, because if we're thinking about potential obstacles that we're overcoming in our sexual lives or ways that we want to experience heightened sexuality with our partners, with ourselves, things like that, we need to look at all aspects of our lives and think about ways that we can tweak them or improve them, or at least dissect them and understand what's going on with us so we really get to know ourselves better. Now, you might think of the most obvious way that health and sexuality would be related. If you have really poor health, then it's unlikely that your sexual experiences are going to be satisfying or that you will have them very often. Someone who has a disease or a problem, maybe like an STD, for example, that they know about and they're being conscious about, it really can hinder your sexual life because there's a lot that goes with that. There's fear that you might pass the STD on to someone else. There's fear about what your partner thinks about you and the fact that you have this disease. If they still think that you're sexy, if they're a kind of a new partner, if they're still going to like you at finding out that you have this, for example, right now we're talking about STD. Or even in the case of something else, like if you have anything like diabetes, maybe even, how that might affect your ideas about sexuality, how that might affect you as a sexual person. So someone might think more commonly of those, how an STD might affect sexuality, or a disease that everyone can acknowledge is real and affects people. But I don't know how much we really think about just everyday basic, the ups and downs of our health life, how those really affect our sexuality. So a couple really big things that I want to talk about today. The first of which is water. Are you drinking enough water? And this seems like so silly. I mean, that is a big, everybody's on a big kick right now about being healthy and being hydrated and stuff. But did you ever think about how being hydrated is actually related to your sexual life? I mean, let's stop and think about it for a minute. The majority of your body is made up of water molecules. It keeps your body going. Without the blood in your body, without all of the other fluids that makes your body work, and that is all because of water, we would be these like floppy skin sacks with bones inside. So much of our body is water. So, and we think about this from just a basic health perspective, or a fitness perspective, and we know this, and we think, okay, that makes sense. But it's easy to write it off as just something that we, you know, among other things, need to look at in our lives and do better, because just we should be healthier people. But if you really want to think about it as something that can affect our sex lives, that potentially could put a little bit of a fire under you and make you realize that it's really time to look at this. Now, let's just talk about the obvious. Sex of all kinds, oral sex, anal sex, vaginal sex, involves fluids and liquids, which, of course, is from water. Sperm, vaginal secretions, saliva, all sorts of things. But particularly, I'm thinking in the cases of vaginal fluids or seminal fluids and or seminal fluids. How? Those are all water with like a little bit of extra ingredients mixed in. So, in the cases where women might have an issue, maybe with their vaginal secretions, there's not very much, they feel really dry. I think it's worth looking at how hydrated you are to see if that's an issue. Now, that might not be the main issue. It might be other stuff. But you can't rule this out. You cannot rule out being not hydrated, being dehydrated as something. Now, a lot of people have misconceptions about being dehydrated. They think, oh, I am not like, my skin isn't dry, my lips aren't dry, I drank 3 glasses of water today, I must be hydrated. No, not necessarily. First of all, what season is it? If it's summer and you're sweating all of your water out, you already lost those 3 glasses of water. If it's winter and the air is really dry, you already lost those 3 glasses of water just through the fact that the air is so dry, you're losing your moisture. It's going out through your skin. Also, you cannot expect that you're like, okay, I'm going to drink more water, I'm going to be hydrated. You cannot expect that you do that for like a week and that you are sufficiently hydrated. That is not going to be the case. Your body takes many days sometimes to repair itself from an illness. Think about that. You've had the flu. It takes sometimes weeks for your body to recover from all of that. So why is it that it wouldn't take potentially weeks for our body to recover from being dehydrated? Because our body is so smart about taking care of itself and keeping it alive, unless you are severely dehydrated, your body's not going to shut down. So you might not notice all of the little clues your body's giving you about, hey, I'm dehydrated, hey, I'm dehydrated. Especially women who oftentimes wear chapstick, your lips are dry, you're dehydrated to some extent. You need more water. I just recently started doing this thing that Jason did a long time ago where I'm trying to get off of chapstick because it is a trick for not drinking water. Honestly, I'm realizing this now. I should have known this before. It was stupid that I didn't get it. But I'm like, my lips feel chapped. I need chapstick. No, my lips feel chapped. I need some water. And yes, that makes me pee a lot more often, but that is good for your system. You're cleaning your system out, etc. And peeing, having enough water to pee, is like another thing I want to talk about related to sexual health and sex in a minute. So if you are needing more water, and by water I mean like water, not like other liquids like coffee that can dehydrate you simultaneously while you think it's hydrating you. Juices are, you know, pretty good. But still, water is like the best thing. Water is the base of our bodies. Let's give it some water, not other stuff. Of course, add other stuff to it, but stick with water. So if your body is in need of water, and you can tell because your lips are chapped, or maybe your mouth is a little bit more dry, how is it that our, like, sexual parts, when they get into the sexual moment, are not going to be affected by this lack of hydration? That's totally going to be the case. So if a woman is turned on and she's ready to have sex with her partner, there's a chance that being dehydrated is going to limit her secretions and affect the sexual experience. There's a chance that a man who is ready to have sex with his partner and his liquid that comes out with everything in it, his semen and all of his sperm and stuff, if he's not hydrated enough, it's not going to do what it is supposed to do completely. I mean, you might not be able to tell a difference, perhaps. But also, interestingly, there might be a difference in the taste. Like, if you're choosing to do oral sex with him, there's a chance we'll be able to tell the difference between how hydrated he is and if he isn't hydrated. If it's like an extreme difference. Like, if he's really pretty dehydrated, you know, or he just hasn't been drinking much water. Versus like he's just a super hydrated person and you know it. And then, you know, you might be able to tell in how intense his semen tastes. That is a very possible thing. Just like you can tell through someone's diet, you can tell, or, you know, you can tell their diet through their semen and kind of, you know, everybody's different. So it's interesting that we don't really think of that when we think about our sexual health. And it's time that we start thinking about that because our sexual health is so interrelated to our other aspects of our health. Clearly, it's related to our emotional health. It's related to our physical health because it is a physical activity. And water is like the biggest thing we need to think about here. The biggest thing. And so I'm really excited about my new thing that I'm trying to do, like I said, which is instead of putting on chapstick, drinking water. Like right now as I'm speaking, I feel my lips drying out, but I have water here and I'm going to take a sip in a minute. And that's what I need to do instead of using chapstick. Because chapstick is a quick fix, almost like a medication would be, as opposed to actually a change in your health routine, which would be drinking more water. And of course, when you think about how water is a big deal, we also think about health-wise, having a healthy diet, like a well-rounded, healthy diet. Whatever that is to you, everybody has different ideas. I know I have a different idea than many other people about what a healthy diet is. But we can all agree on some basic things, like Doritos do not count as a real food. Pretty much the real foods are meats and vegetables and fruits and breads for some people and dairy for some people. And you need to stick with that. And the least processed the crap is, the better. Because it actually is going to have real ingredients and real nutrients in it instead of a bunch of artificial crapola that we do not need in our bodies. Athletes have it right. Athletes know, at least the athletes that take care of their bodies and do not binge eat or whatever that some of the athletes do. Athletes have it right. They know that they need to pay attention to what it is that they're eating so that they can be at the top of their game. They're either doing a paleo diet, who knows these days, LeBron James is doing the paleo diet, or they're just eating healthy, they're eating vegetables, they're eating things that give them good calories and they can eat a lot of it. And they're eating meats and things that give them energy. So we need to think about what athletes do. And everybody has a diet that's going to be a little bit better for you. But we need to think about what athletes do to think about how sex is a physical activity. It is an exercise to some degree. It is an exercise. We know that you burn a lot of calories having sex. So you need energy to have sex. And you need the right kind of energy to have sex. You don't need Doritos and Cheetos and crap, cookies, or even a lot of processed food. So if you go out to eat every day, you are getting a lot of extra things in your food that you don't really need in your body and you shouldn't really have in your body. It would be so much better if you spent a little bit of time at home cooking with your family, whatever, and gave yourself some really pure foods. So sauteed vegetables, baked vegetables, raw fruits. The most basic way that we get our nutrients just from the food, the way it comes out of the earth. And I feel like we don't think about that when we think about how sex is a physical activity. If you want energy to do it, and you want energy to do it right, kind of like a runner running a race, and you need energy to have stamina, and you need energy to supply to your brain chemistry so that you've got your emotional stuff in line and you don't get frustrated by not having an orgasm or whatever, then you need good food. You need real food, not a bunch of crap. And another thing that comes from having a well-rounded, balanced, healthy, I would advise raw as possible, you know, vegetables and fruits and things, organic as possible, homegrown as possible. If you have that kind of a diet, you're also getting so many of your micronutrients and your vitamins that you really need in your system that are going to have to do with your physical self, but as a result of your physical self, your brain and your brain chemistry, which is also going to be a big deal with your emotional state and your mood, which is going to affect your sexuality. So, I mean, if you think about it on a really extreme scale, people who are chronically depressed aren't interested in doing much, so they're clearly not interested in having sex. So people that are mildly depressed or mildly kind of under the weather or down in the dumps, if you're not getting enough of the vitamins that are beneficial for your brain and making your moods elevated and making your moods balanced, then you're not going to be at the top of your game when it comes to wanting to have sex and really experiencing and enjoying the moment. This is something that we really need to remember, my friends, something that's really important. is, once again, you are taking charge of your sexual life and your sexuality, and it's going to go down to a basic level, of course, because sex is so basic. It's going to have to do with what you put in your body. You can't get anything positive out of it unless you're putting in some positive stuff. And this is going to be a more obvious thing as you get older and you notice, I didn't eat enough food today, or I ate crap and I'm feeling cranky and I'm not interested in having sex. Because many of us don't have sex all the time, clearly, but would be interested in having sex more often with our partner if, like, the mood's aligned. Most people, if they're not having sex with their partner, you know, a couple times a week, it's not because they're, like, so mad at them and they don't want to talk to them. It's usually just because it just doesn't happen. Like, life is busy, of course, but then also, like, oh, I don't feel like it. But if you wish you felt like it more, this is a great step to take. Just try it and see. Because in addition to just affecting the physical aspects of yourself sexually that are going to help your sexuality kind of come out of the closet when you're, you know, in that zone, it's also going to give you a general pep in your step, like in life, because you have more micronutrients and energy and vitamins flowing through your body. So there's a chance it's going to make you a lot more likely to just be like, hell, let's do sex. Let's have it. Come on. I'm ready. I mean, I'm sleepy, but I still have some energy because I just have a greater energy in general now with my life. So there's going to be an extra layer of spunk that you couldn't add to your sexual situation before that's going to be apparent in the rest of your life too. And on a more specific sexual note, speaking about how sex is an athletic activity and, I mean, we use muscles for sex, particularly, okay, so for me, vaginal orgasms are the ones that I generally enjoy much more than clitoral orgasms. I have them way more often, and those are the kind that I seek out and go for. Now, having a vaginal orgasm or some sort of orgasm on the continuum that's kind of between vaginal and clitoral, your muscles are contracting inside of your body. And muscles need energy to work. And they need good energy to work. So it's going to be harder for you to actually have an orgasm if you do not have the right nutrients going through your body. If you do not have enough energy. If you spent all of your energy in foreplay and all this other stuff, I'm wondering how possible it's going to be for you to actually have that muscle contracting orgasm that you so desire. Because if your body's already strapped for energy, it's not going to stick it in the orgasm section. It's going to keep it for, you know, your other muscles that require you to walk around and things like that. So think about that. Feed your muscles. Feed your orgasms. This is going to be the punchline for the day. The motto. Feed your muscles. Feed your orgasms. And I would take that even further and say, eat muscle. Feed your muscles. Feed your orgasms. You need the same nutrients that are in, you know, muscle to build your muscle. So meat's a great way to do that. Muscle meat. Also, speaking about being hydrated and sexual health, it's really important for women to, after they have sex, to go sit down on the toilet, whatever it is that you do after you have sex, but go pee. And if you're dehydrated and you don't have any pee in your system, you can't pee. But it's a really good thing. My mom taught me this when I was like, I don't know, the beginning of time. I feel like I knew this. That even before I started having sex, I knew this. That you need to pee after you have sex because it cleans out that area in a way that you really need after having sex. After all those funky juices are mixed around and all the microbes are down there doing crazy things, which they're supposed to be doing in most cases, but every now and again you'll get a funky one going the wrong way, which could lead you to a yeast infection. And peeing is such a good thing because it cleans everything out and it gets you ready to go back to non-sexual body functioning in that crotchal region. So the bottom line of what we talked about today is that your sexuality is a product of you and what you put in your body and what you give your body to work with. Okay? Any issues that you are feeling like you're having, many, many of them are going to be solvable without drugs and meds and things like that. Take a step back, look at how you feel about your health, about how much water you drink, what kind of food you eat, how much energy you have on a regular basis in the day, and work from there. So now you have another motivation to think about being healthy in your life that isn't just about like, oh, I want to be skinny, or I want to look pretty in my dress. It has to do with your overall health and your sexual health and your sexual accomplishments, like your ability to get where you want to be with your sexual experiences. It's up to you. It's up to you to start and go in that direction. And then the more positive sexual experiences you're going to have, the more positively it's going to feed the cycle of how much you, like what you eat and how much water you drink, because you really are into feeling the way you're feeling. And it's just going to be a fantastic cycle of positive stuff. But you have to reflect on it first, and you have to think from the ground up what it is that your body has to work with and go from there. So that's my challenge to you, is to think of that first. Think of that. And change little by little and see if you notice any changes in your overall excitement, in your vaginal secretions, in your mood about sex, in all of those things. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say do that. Definitely. Think about that. And here's the thing. Even if this somehow didn't work, which I know it makes a difference, we all know it makes a difference, really. Like, look, reflect and think, does it make a difference? Of course, I know it does. It's a health issue, yes. But even if it didn't, what would be the negative? Being healthier would be the negative, which is not a negative. So you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. All you have to gain is what I said before. Build muscle. Build orgasms. Feed muscle. Feed orgasms. Feed your sexual life. It's fantastic talking with you today again. I'm Emma. I will talk to you tomorrow on the O Woman podcast. Have a great day. Bye.